Hey everybody, it's Wednesday and time for a new Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. I'm George Taylor, here with you for podcast number 27. Welcome. Today I want to share with you some excerpts from a book which is still in production. The Roman's Quest by Anne Baxter Campbell is a Helping Hands press release, which is a full-length novel. So for this book, we're looking at an audiobook several hours in length. In this book, we meet Centurion Julius, who has eyes for a young Jewish woman, Miriam. Miriam also has eyes for Julius, but a Roman is not who her father intends for her. Miriam is a pious Jewish girl, determined to do the right thing by her God and her parents, and she bows to her father's wishes to betroth her to a Jewish fisherman, James ben Zebedee. Her heart yearns for the Roman. His heart yearns for her. But their love is impossible. Miriam's mother lies close to death, and her last wish is to see her daughter wed. The marriage has to take place before it's too late. Woven through this story is also the presence of a new prophet on the scene, a man called Jesus. I narrate this book along with Patricia Horner. Trish is an actress and singer who brings life to the female characters in the book. I, of course, handle the male characters. Man, it's been a pleasure to work with her. What I want to do is bring you a couple of extended excerpts from the book. Mind you, this book is still in production, so it's not available for sale yet. I'll let you know when it will be available. This initial excerpt comes from Chapter 1 and explains the setup for this book. Julius Saturnius stood in the mid-morning heat, droplets of sweat trickling from the kinks of his hair onto his forehead and down the back of his neck. But he didn't want to find shade. He had been stationed in Jericho for a year. In that time, a young woman had stopped some young boys from tormenting a dog, comforted a little girl who had fallen, and given a loaf of bread to a beggar. But none of that is what had captured his attention. Her wide, expressive eyes and the supple grace with which she moved had drawn him to look for her here daily. Strange, but she reminded him a little of his mother, who had also been a rescuer. Their spacious dwelling in Rome had always been filled with orphans and pups. The young woman had taken to walking to this spring with her friends almost every morning. She had never ventured here alone any more to this place where the residents got their drinking water. An incident had occurred here with a soldier named Brutus. To avoid what he'd saved her from, the women were smart to come in groups. Still, he found reason to be in this vicinity most days, wishing she might set aside her fear and come alone so that he might speak to her. As if wishful thinking could make her appear, Julia straightened as the girl and her companions made their way toward the spring. Julius watched the young woman walking toward the well. He wondered if she were married and whether she would smile on him even if she were not. He heaved a sigh. She was a Jew. He was a Roman, and Jews hated Romans. With good cause, sometimes. Brutus spent a month cleaning latrines for what he had tried to do to this beautiful one. Did she know he had pulled Brutus off her? All his supplications and sacrifices to Venus, the goddess of love, had gone unanswered. He chuckled to himself. He would ask Mars, but he didn't want to go to war with the beautiful young woman. He let out his breath. Even Venus could never match this Jewess's beauty and grace. As though she heard his thoughts, she glanced up and met his gaze. She lowered long black lashes over equally dark eyes, blushing and frowning. Heat rose from his throat to his face. She looked angry, and it wasn't hard to understand why. He had been staring like one of his mother's hungry pups when she took out scraps from the table. Why did he have to serve in Jericho and be tormented by this woman child? He almost wished he could be transferred somewhere else. Almost. But then he wouldn't see her again. Never watch that delicious female walk. Never hear that bubbling laugh. Never see those red, ripe lips smile as she walked with her friends. No, that would be worse. Maybe tomorrow there would be a chance to speak to her, although about what, he didn't know. He wanted to tell her just what exactly. He couldn't tell her what he thought, that he would like to make good use of those inviting lips. And how could he tell her anything with 40 other women around her? He prayed to his gods, but he doubted any of them approved of her. The Jews claimed his gods didn't exist, the Jewish God, invisible, so they said. How could they talk to a God they couldn't see? Did this God hear their thoughts? Would he hear a plea from Julius? God of the Jews, if you exist, would you show me a way to meet her?
Miriam's thoughts spun like a desert whirlwind. What was wrong with her? Just because this Roman was handsome, muscular, and broad-shouldered didn't mean she needed to act like such a fool whenever she saw him watching her. Ah, those eyes, such a startling blue. Here he stood, almost every day, waiting by the spring of Elisha. She willed herself to ignore his admiring looks, yet her mutinous gaze strayed time after time to this soldier who had saved her. At least she thought he was the one. There were just two centurions in Jericho, and she caught only a glimpse of his back as he marched the evil one away. She hoped he didn't recognize her as the one dragged into the old house of Barnabab, long deserted and crumbling from disuse. No one had mentioned the attack to her parents or her friends, if anyone had seen. Be still, thumping heart, he might hear. Or worse, one of her friends could hear and know why her heartbeat raced faster the closer they drew. Realize the red in her cheeks was not from the exertion or heat, and recognize that her thoughts were drawn to a Gentile who worshipped at the shrines of false gods. She glanced up at him, but pulled her gaze back before her friends could catch her. The wind gusted, and Miriam scowled as she reached to tuck a strand of wind-blown hair under the blue wool scarf. She cast a sidelong glance at the others, and then raised her eyes skyward. Adonai, please help me control these rebel thoughts. Miriam, you're doing it again. Her friend Mary giggled as she lifted the full jar of water to the top of her head. You're staring into the heavens and whispering. Probably praying for a husband. Hannah's grin took the edge from her teasing. Maybe praying she won't have to marry. Mary's hand strayed to a dark bruise on her cheek.
Has your father found one good enough for you yet, Miriam?
Tamar's eyes narrowed, and her lips turned upward into a scornful smirk. Miriam shook her head, blushing again. Her father had refused 7 offers of marriage for her. Not strong enough, not wise enough, too old, too young. She realized her friends, and maybe the men too, knew her father found them unsuitable because she didn't want to marry any of them. How could she disappoint her Abba by telling him she had eyes for a beardless Roman centurion? It was better she forget him. Think instead about the smell of blooming jasmine on the soft breeze, the beauty of the wild flowers on the green hillside, the feel of the baby's kicks in Hannah's belly, anything but dwelling on the sparks that flew whenever her glance met the Romans. With a start, she noticed her friends had left her behind. She knelt and filled the jar from the spring and rose. She turned to hasten after the others, but stepped on the edge of her long outer tunic. The water spilled as she twisted to put her body between the ground and the jar. The Roman soldier jumped forward and lifted her to her feet. He continued to hold her arms, but one hand strayed upward toward her shoulder.
"Are you all right?"
She froze, staring at his hand. He loosed his grip as though her arms were hot. She opened her mouth to speak, but her tongue felt like a great wad of cloth in a dry cistern. He must think her an idiot.
"Thank you, sir."
She backed away a step and dropped her gaze to her wet tunic. Rational thought failed to move her lips, and she fought for something to say.
How is it you speak Aramaic?"
I just thought it might be wise to learn the language of your people, because I'm assigned here for a long while."
He cleared his throat.
"What are you called?" "I'm Julius, son of Legate Gaius Saturnius."
She hesitated. She shouldn't tell this Gentile her name, should she? But the scriptures said she couldn't be discourteous to a stranger.
"I'm Miriam, daughter of Micah the carpenter."
She pulled the soft blue wool scarf closer around her face.
"I must go. The others..."
She turned to look after her friends and found a scowling Hannah alone waited for her.
Of course. I'm sorry to have kept you."
Julius dipped the jar into the pool and handed it to her.
"Here,"
he said. His deep voice shook her bones, and her heart skipped several beats when his fingers brushed hers. She hurried away, her face hot, praying she wouldn't trip again. Miriam caught up with Hannah, and together they walked on. Hannah's face rippled with a comical mixture of emotions, eyebrows up, then together, lips open, then tight. She leaned toward Miriam.
"What will your parents think? You know how the Roman soldiers are around women. You should be more careful. Remember, they are Gentile heathens."
You've heard the setup, so let's jump to the middle of the book. This is from chapter 23, and in this, Miriam's mother is close to death. Leah, Miriam's aunt, and her husband, Amos, are looking for the prophet Jesus to see if he can come to their house to heal Miriam's mother.
Leah cast a worried glance in Micah and Deborah's direction as she and Amos left. The sun was at its zenith and hot. A dog panted in the shade of a tree. A bird perched on a limb, wings out and beak open. Leah wiped the sweat from her forehead. If they didn't find this Jesus soon, it would be only a matter of hours before Deborah would die. "Adonai, please help us find the healer quickly."
"I hope you remember how to get to this Judah's house. You do know that half the men in Jericho are named Judah, don't you?"
Amos scowled, his tone petulant.
"How do you know where to find the right one?"
"We'll look for the Pharisee named Judah who has a crowd in his home. The man we talked to did give us simple directions. We can find him. We have the Lord to guide us, too."
"I can't help but think maybe he might be reluctant to help us this day. Miriam did not have a covering on her head, nor did Deborah."
Leah stopped in her tracks. She spun around, hands on her hips. "Amos Bar Abram, what kind of God do you think our Lord is, anyway? One who would strike us dead for trying to help someone who is sick? One who is more concerned about the covering on our heads than whether we should go for help for someone we love?"
"Well, maybe he wouldn't be so angry with us. Maybe. But what about the Pharisees? Don't they have the ear of God when it comes to matters like these? If they condemn us, surely God would agree with them."
"So you think God obeys the Pharisees rather than the Pharisees obeying him? Wouldn't that make the Pharisees more godlike than God? Didn't God condemn Satan for that very idea?" Amos blushed.
"Yes, I guess so."
Without anything further, Leah turned and again hurried in the direction of the north wall. Amos followed after her.
When they reached the street next to the wall, Leia turned to the right and stopped in front of a luxurious home. Palm trees swayed gently in the light breeze, and acacia trees shaded the spacious brick house. The stench of rotted vegetation and offal, common in the inner city, seemed less noticeable here. Leia stopped, searching about her. Amos came beside her, peering right and left and behind them.
"Is this it?"
he whispered. "I believe so. Let's go ask." She strode to the door, but Amos remained in the street, his stance that of a man who would run at a moment's notice. Leia knocked with more confidence than she felt. A servant opened the door. She glanced back at Amos, hoping he would speak. When he didn't, she took a deep breath. "We seek the prophet called Jesus. Is he here?"
"And what is it that you wish? My master is dining with Jesus and his friends and doesn't wish to be disturbed."
He reached for the door to close it, and Leia bolted forward.
"It's important. My sister is dying, and I heard that Jesus has the power to heal."
Leia raised her voice and tried to sound as haughty as the servant looked, but her tone sounded more like pleading to her ears.
"Come back later. They are eating now. If your sister is still alive when they are finished, perhaps Jesus will hear your plea then."
Leia stared at the man, her mouth agape. Then she shook her head. She had to do something, or her beloved sister would be gone from her. "I will wait here." She dropped to the ground, cross-legged in front of the door. "I will not leave until I see Jesus. If you wish to have passers-by seeing a woman sitting in front of your door until they finish eating, then so be it." The servant's eyes widened.
"You cannot do that. You must leave and return in perhaps an hour or two."
"I will not leave." Leia crossed her arms and ignored not only the servant, but also the silent signals her husband sent her with his eyes. The servant curled his lips into an angry snarl and slammed the door as he retreated. Amos dashed to his wife and whispered,
"Come, Leia, we must leave. He will be sending for the guards, and we will be thrown in prison."
He tugged on her arm.
"Let's go."
Leia refused to budge or to speak. The door reopened, and Amos jumped as though he'd been prodded with a staff. The Pharisee stood at the door, his servant hovering behind.
"Leave my property, you scum of a poisoned swamp. Leave now, or I will send for the soldiers. You and your husband, and I only assume this man is your husband, will be imprisoned for a good long time. I will see to it."
His eyes narrowed to an icy slit. Leia glanced at her husband, who threw her a fearful,
"What did I tell you?"
look. Leia scooted around to turn her back toward the Pharisee. Amos tugged her arm.
"Wife, we need to go now."
Judah turned to his servant.
"Inform the guards a trespasser refuses to leave my property."
The servant shot a triumphant glance at Leia and trotted off in the direction of the guards' compound. Amos tried to lift Leia to her feet, but she kept her legs folded. Then he tried to drag her away. Leia struggled to free herself from him. She could have kicked Amos in frustration, but she had no desire to hurt her husband. Amos seemed determined to hold on without injuring her, and he pled with urgent hisses into her ear. A man moved past Judah and knelt at Leia's side.
"What is it you want, daughter?"
Amos gasped, dropped her arms, and jerked backward. Are you the man called Jesus?" Leia looked up at him.
"Yes."
Leia took a deep breath and held her hand to her heart. "My sister, Deborah, she sleeps and won't waken. She's been sick for months. We've heard you have the power to heal. Please, would you come and heal her? We don't have great riches, but we would give all we have to see her healed." Amos's eyes flew open wide, and he opened his mouth to speak until Jesus looked at him. Instead, he nodded.
"You love her."
Jesus's look took in both Amos and Leia. Leia's eyes filled with tears. "I wish it were me instead of her." Eyes wide, Amos fell beside his wife.
"No, I wouldn't want my wife to trade places with Deborah. But Deborah is a good woman. She is loved by all who know her. Her husband is distraught. Her daughter weeps for her. And her sister, my wife, would trade her places without hesitation. We would all be happy to see Deborah back in good health.
Please, Rabbi, would you heal her?
Leah lifted a teary gaze to the master.
I would. Do you believe me?
I do, Lord, Leah said.
Jesus turned to Amos.
And you? I have heard many stories, sir, and you won't believe them until you see it yourself, Amos.
Jesus asked, smiling.
No, that's not what I meant exactly.
He didn't seem to notice that Jesus had called him by name, but Leah had heard. She gasped.
Go, see for yourself and believe. Go where, Lord?
Amos's confusion washed across his face, and he scratched his head. I think we're supposed to go see Deborah, Leah said, hope blooming in her heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Comprehension began to dawn on Amos's face, and he looked at Jesus. Jesus smiled again and nodded, but said nothing. This time, Amos smiled. Then he held his hands out to Leah, still seated cross-legged on the ground. Leah smiled back and allowed him to pull her to her feet.
Thank you, Adonai,
Amos said as they were leaving.
If you like romance, plot twists, interesting characters, some humor, and some help understanding life around the time of Jesus' life on this earth, then this book is for you. It's called The Roman's Quest by Ann Baxter Campbell. It's available in print from Helping Hands Press at myhelpinghandspress.com. And it will also be available soon in audiobook format from Helping Hands Press and narrationbygeorge.com. Well, that's our time for today. Hope you enjoyed the excerpts from this book, still in production. You can find more by going to my website. That's narrationbygeorge.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. That's at narrationbygeo. I'm also on Facebook under Narration by George. So see you next Wednesday when the Narration by George podcast will again be new. God bless.